out of the book of Matthew, chapter 25, starting with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, who you are cursed, unto the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or need clothing or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did, not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. The last page. May seem strange to you, but it's my way. The first thing I always do when I read a new book is to read the last few pages. I told you it sounds strange. Well, why do I do that? Well, it's something that I always do and I can't help it or I can't stop it. I love reading that last scene and then reading the book to figure out what that last image means or the reason and significance behind the closing quote. You see, by the time I get to the end of the book, I can greater reflect on what the message is if I know what the message is before I get to the end. Now, I know that doesn't make sense, but it works for me. Because doing this helps to guide my thoughts and understandings of the book as I read through it. So today, whether you like it or not, Jesus reads us the last few pages that we read this morning. He tells us what happens at the very end of the world. Excuse me. Jesus does this because an understanding of the end of the world shapes how we now view our lives and how we live with each other. Another of the band's hits included Kryptonite, which Arnold wrote at the age of 15. It's one of the reasons we have prophecies. One of the reasons that we can thank God that we are Christians. Because we know these prophecies. And as they have become fulfilled, we understand it. Because we know what the last page says. To understand this scene, we need to know the events that come before it. For those that haven't spent any time in the scripture, have no idea what's going on. These days, we see the fulfillment of prophecy over prophecy over prophecy. And Dave and I, we like to have a conversation about this morning. The short conversation was this, boy, I can't wait this week. How many more prophecies are going to be fulfilled? Look at what's happening here and here and here and here. And because we know the prophecy, we can recognize the events that are happening for what they are. Remember, we are on the last page. In our text, some important events have happened that will help us to make sense of this event. The return of Christ. He's already came back. We celebrated his birthday a few months back. And he has come in his glory. He has also come with his angels. All of them. Elsewhere in Matthew, Jesus says that his angels are instrumental in separating the believers from the unbelievers. His return will be quite a scene. Oh, yeah. His return will be the most eventful event that man has ever seen. And because we know what the last page says, we will recognize this event. We will know what it is. And because we know that last page, we will rejoice in the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Money to retire. That's the first thing out of anybody's mouth.
The resurrection of the dead has already taken place in a certain sense. The bodies are still in the graves. But the souls and the spirits are with Jesus in heaven. And upon his return, they will be joined together.
Yeah,
and we all meet him in the sky. With these things in mind, the meaning of the text unfolds before us. As we go through this text, I ask you to identify who you are in this scene. Jesus begins by calling himself king and says when he returns, he will show his verdict. He makes his judgment public and uses as evidence the things we ourselves and others can see in our work. We can see good works. Jesus can see these works that we have done.
Are your kids and grandkids here? So you're here. So I was born on the Dover Air Force Base in Dover, Delaware.
But you need to recognize that these works are a product of our faith.
And my whole life growing up, we knew that when my parents...
So it is with works that his verdict is shown, revealing to everyone the evidence behind his decision.
To move back out there, to be back closer to their family.
So he first speaks to the sheep, and he calls them blessed. And indeed they are. He tells them, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. This blessing and inheritance is announced before their works were ever mentioned again, emphasizing the point that this was a result of faith, not works. Did you catch that? We will be judged on our works, but our works will not get us to heaven. Works are the product of our faith. That is what will get us to heaven. That and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus reveals that not only were there great acts of service done to him, even the smallest ones to the least of people in this world were done to him. Excuse me. What Jesus is telling us in this scripture is that what you do in your works that are good, the effect of that is that you have also done that to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that if we feed somebody that's hungry, we're feeding Jesus Christ because he's hungry. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is when we feed somebody that's hungry, that good works feeds Jesus in his decision of who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. It's quite evident why Jesus has these people inherit heaven, because they had faith. But catch this now. They had faith, but they lived it. Having faith is one thing. Living it is altogether different. Jesus now turns to the goats, the unrighteous, and it's not looking good for them. He says, depart from me, you cursed, into that eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. He shows how they never lived a life of faith. So basically what we're looking at here is the sheep, those that have lived a righteous life, those people that have done the work, those people that have the faith, those people that live the faith. Jesus tells us in this scripture that the kingdom is theirs. They will go to heaven. The goats, or the people that didn't do all of these things, the people that were so preoccupied in themselves, the people that didn't bother to walk across the street and feed the hungry, didn't bother to visit a mission work and feed and clothe the people, didn't bother to reach out and help anybody because they had no faith, they had no good works. They were on this side. And what Jesus says to them is you made your bed, now lay in it. I got that lake of fire over there waiting for you, and all you got to do is go over there and jump in. Now, don't you imagine some of them goats or people without faith? are hooping and hollering, wait a minute, Jesus, wait a minute, let's make a new deal here. Too late. They had their chance. So I asked you earlier, where are you in this scene? Who are you in this scene? So who are you? Are you a sheep? Or are you a goat? Will you inherit the kingdom? Or will you be very, very hot for eternity? Are you the sheep who are righteous through faith and receive the inheritance? Or are you the unrighteous, a goat who receives a punishment? A punishment that's not intended for human beings. As we believe in Jesus Christ, know that we are the sheep, the ones who are righteous through faith. However, our lives reflect the behavior of the goats. Did you catch that? We're Christians. We are believers. We read the Bible. We teach Sunday school. We feed the hungry. We do this and we do that. So many of us, well, I'm going to heaven. I go to church every Sunday. Or I'm going to heaven because I, it goes on and on and on. But on Monday morning, we're a goat. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. The things that I do for me. I think that's a perfect description of our world today. When's the last time you went out of your way to help somebody else? When's the last time you went out of your way to feed somebody that's hungry? Or clothe somebody, or house somebody, or just plain help somebody? It could be something that's, when's the last time that you were an encourager? When's the last time that you encouraged a new Christian to go forth and make more disciples of Christ? When's the last time you encouraged somebody in their ministry? When's the last time you encouraged somebody in their music? When's the last time you encouraged anybody in anything instead of serving ourselves? This is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew. The horror of our actions is that we know when we serve others, we do it to Christ. And when we withhold our help or do harm to our neighbors, we do it to Him as well. Whatever our actions are, it is a reflection of doing it to Jesus also. In the fifth commandment, God tells us to help and support our neighbors and others in every need. Do we always do that? Aren't there times when we ignore the needs of others and withhold our assistance? Do we always build others up, or do we hurt them with our actions and with our words? Do we love others as much as we love ourselves? The answer to all of these is probably no. By our actions, we deserve the punishment of the goats. But remember, let's look at the previous content. For the very king who sits on the throne is also the same king who died on the cross. The very king who was wronged by his people is also the same king who died for them. So when we are in this scene one day, when we are standing at the great white throne, when we are being judged, are we ready to know the verdict? Go to the last page. You can read your verdict. That's why we go to the last page. Because whatever our verdict is determines on what we need to do with our lives from this moment on. Reading that last page gives us the proper context of what we're headed for. Through faith in Christ, we will be declared not guilty through our works that are based on faith. And we are told to inherit the kingdom prepared for us on account of what our Savior, our King, Jesus, has done for us. Now, since we know the ending, our thoughts and our eyes are guided by what we know from this event as we approach it. We know we are forgiven and where we will be on that last day. We also learn from Jesus' words, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, you did it to me." His words changed how we view serving, or we know any and every act done in faith that is in accordance with the Ten Commandments. And we know that it is pleasing, and we know that it is acceptable to His eyes. They are good works and are done to Him. I was reading about Luther one day, or some of his writings, and I came across this. He gives us a great example to show this point. He uses the example of a father and a spouse who has to rock and the crying and screaming baby, change his messy diapers, put up with the smell and do late nights with the child, help the child when he or she cries. And then on top of it, he has to care for his spouse, do the chores and work all day. The world despises and grumbles in doing these things. But the Christian, Luther says, opens his eyes and looks upon all these insignificant, distasteful, and despised duties in the spirit, and is aware that they are all adorned by divine approval. Because all of them things you did to help that baby, all of them things you did to provide and care for your spouses and raise your family in the Word, you have done all of them to Jesus. What a great worldview and understanding of our lives that comes by faith. How we view our everyday actions and activities changes when they are done and viewed in faith.
She's in her 70s. Her kids are now grown and out of the house. And as I'm telling her,
we mustn't look at these things.
That's a question she had never been asked. So then she comes in.
That we do, these works that we do, to bring glory and honor to ourselves. It isn't a bullet point for bragging. It's works that we do in faith. The only one that really counts is Jesus Christ. Because they are not meaningless, insignificant, and routine actions, but pleasing and beautiful acts of service to God and our neighbors. God has given us people who serve in our lives with our actions.
And I said, "What's going on?" And she said,
"We're not all fathers or spouses, but what are the undesirable, unnoticed, or seemingly unimportant things that you can do to serve others in your life?"
Seems always working. My mom ran a very disciplined, structured house.
How can you go forward? What can you do tomorrow that you didn't do today? That brings glory and honor to the kingdom. Is it caring for a sick family member? Is it going to work to provide for your family? Maybe it's just something else, I don't know. But there's something there that you can do tomorrow that you did not do today. That would fall into the category of good works because of your faith. Whatever they may be, remember, when they are done in faith, they are pleasing and a beautiful thing to God. Although, and boy, this is powerful because this is where we're at in our world today.
If that's the thing you're looking for, peace of mind.
They are pleasing and beautiful things to God.
Give us a call.
Although the world will disagree. Is that not where we're at today? Is that not fulfilled, one of the prophecies that are being fulfilled? You know, folks, I honestly believe we're close to the end times. We're close to the day. Now, my interpretation, or close, is undoubtedly different than Jesus' interpretation. But the fact is, the signs are there. It could happen. It could happen today. Go forth. Do the good works through faith. Because Jesus has told us, we also do it to Him. And all of God's people said,
Amen.